Today's lesson is an introduction to the book of Exodus. Exodus is a history of the Jewish people covering a period of about 145 years. It recounts their difficulties in Egypt, God's deliverance of the people from the land, their wanderings in the wilderness, and their founding as a nation. The book of Exodus picks up where the book of Genesis left off, with the death of Joseph and the Israelites residing as shepherds in Egypt. Upon entering the land, the Israelites were immediately blessed. Viewed as allies, they were given the land of Goshen, which was an ideal setting for shepherds to raise their flocks. On top of this, one of their kindred, Joseph, was a leader in the land. Egypt was isolated and independent. The nation was hemmed in by the deserts and the Mediterranean Sea. Most of the people lived along the Nile River, which allowed the nation to prosper. The river annually overran its banks due to the runoff from the far-off mountains, leaving rich silt over the ground that it flooded. Over time, the Egyptians developed an irrigation system with reservoirs pumping water through channels that extended throughout the entire land. This enabled the Egyptians to produce great crops every year, which led to a good life of ease and comfort. The Egyptians were intelligent people. They had a great understanding of astronomy and mathematics, which is evident in the pyramids that they built. Their writing was in the form of hieroglyphic pictures, simple so that all could understand and communicate. They enjoyed music, poetry, and athletic competitions. Major universities were found in Egypt. One was located at Heliopolis, another at Thebes. It's possible Moses attended one or both of these, the institution of higher learning. As for religion, many believed in one God, but that he manifested himself in various forms of polytheism. So they worshiped the Nile, crocodiles, beetles, cats, and other animals, believing them to be a form of God. They mistakenly worshiped the creature instead of the creator. The ancient capital was Memphis. The city was located above the first fork in the river. Later, the capital shifted to the city of Thebes. Egypt was an established nation with kings, organized government, a military, and international relations. Looking back, we find it possible to divide Egypt into dynasties, with each dynasty providing its own form of government and leadership. So we find a very organized nation and an organized country. For the most part, the pharaohs ruled as tyrants, and the people were contented with their ease, comfort, food, and drink guaranteed. The result was complacent and corrupt people. This is where the Israelites resided. This is the land that they lived in. This gives us an idea of the people that they lived around. While in Egypt, they held on to a form of their religion. The rite of circumcision was kept, which was a religious obligation given to the Jewish people. Also, they continued to sacrifice. We find that they asked Pharaoh permission to go 3 days into the wilderness to do so. Some people displayed their faith. We think of the parents of Moses, who had great faith in God. And their faith was based upon what they knew. Obviously, it was faith in God from their knowledge of Him. This leads us to believe that they must have been aware of the promise of deliverance. The people as a whole, as far as the Jewish people, were changed in Egypt. They went in as nomadic shepherds, and they adjusted to an agricultural lifestyle. The people in Egypt lived in houses. The Jews lived in houses in one location instead of tents throughout the countryside like they had previously. In Egypt, skills were learned, which we find later. In the wilderness, they were able to make a golden calf. They were also able to construct the tabernacle based upon the directions given from God. As a whole, the people blended with Egypt. Not physically, but spiritually. Their faith lacking, they were influenced by idolatry. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 5 through 7 give us an idea of their life in Egypt. It says here in verse 5 of Ezekiel 20, "And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, In the day when I chose Israel, and lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up mine hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God, and the day that I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, then said I unto them, Cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. It was easier to remove them from Egypt than to take Egypt out of them. It took time. It was not a quick process. It was difficult. The people were very stubborn. They had left many luxuries behind that they longed for. Goshen, the land that they resided in when they were in Egypt, remained one of the richest pastures in all of the country. See, in Egypt they prospered and they grew, but they declined morally. Luxury seemed to change our focus from God to the world. If we're not careful, blessings can be used to pamper and please the flesh. Often, the more we advance, the further we get from God, or the more we possess, the less we seek after God. As far as Israel was concerned, their future was dim. Had the Lord not intervened, they would have disappeared. But that was not their destiny. You see, Egypt was not a permanent location. It was not a place of rest. It was not what they were called for. They were to be a nation for God's glory. The book of Exodus provides an account of their journey. The nation leaving the world and following after the Lord. Now, as far as the contents of the book, we begin with persecution. That's where the book begins. We find that it did not take long for a new king to come to power that knew not Joseph or his God. This Pharaoh saw the flourishing Hebrews as a threat to the nation, so he decided to persecute them. The Hebrew people were forced into slavery, which included cruel treatment and strenuous labor. This persecution culminated in the wicked order to throw the newborn Hebrew boys into the river. Horrendous order, terrible. This affliction prepared the people to be delivered. Distaste for Egypt began to set in their hearts. Next, we think of the promise. What the Pharaoh failed to understand is that God promised to bless the Hebrews. Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 15, verses 13 through 14, "And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward they shall come out with great substance." In Genesis chapter 22, verses 16 through 18, we find a passage after Abraham was prepared to offer up his son, saying this, "And said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Nothing could be done to remove God's promises, including the crafty schemes of a wicked and selfish leader. In the book of Exodus, we also find a person. Exodus introduces us to one of the greatest men that ever lived, Moses. He was prepared for one purpose. That was to deliver Israel out of Egypt. The first 40 years of his life were spent in the nation of Egypt. He was the adopted child of Pharaoh's daughter, and educated in the wisdom of Egypt, Moses lived a privileged life. At the age of 40, he turned away from Egypt and all of its treasures to follow after God. The next 40 years he lived as a shepherd in Midian. There he found a wife and he started a family. It was in obscurity that Moses was prepared for the work he was called to do. Moses returned to Egypt and led the Israelites for 40 years. We come upon power next. As far as the content of the book of Exodus, the Israelites were unable to remove themselves from bondage. The Lord noticed their affliction and went to work on their behalf. The 10 plagues were sent to Egypt. Often that's what we think of when we think of the book of Exodus, the 10 plagues. They came as predicted. They came at the order of Moses and Aaron. They affected the Egyptians. The land of Goshen, where the Hebrews dwelt, remained untouched. Egypt and the world attempted to defeat the plagues, but the Lord was victorious. proving himself and providing a testimony for the world to notice. The Lord remains the same today. He has not changed. He is powerful and he is mighty. We think of the Passover when we think of the book of Exodus. The plagues led up to the night in which the Lord would redeem his people. As the Lord made his way through the land of Egypt that night, only one thing deterred him: the blood-covered doorposts. Where there was no blood, there was no salvation. This night of judgment devastated the nation, and the Hebrews were free to leave. Their Lord had delivered them. We come to provision, or we think of provision. The Lord continued to provide for his people after they left Egypt. They had a special relationship with God. We think of safety. They quickly found a problem. As soon as they left, ran into trouble. They had water in front of them, mountains and wilderness beside them, and Pharaoh's army was bearing down behind them. They were hopeless, helpless. The Lord opened the Red Sea. He ensured their safe crossing and then overcame their enemies. Later, we find that God blessed them with his presence and direction in a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. They received manna from heaven, water from the rock, and the Lord's law so they could know his standards. We think of patience next. Not of the people, but of God. Blessed greatly, it did not take long for many to display their rebellious hearts. Impatience led to the making of a golden calf for worship. This displeased the Lord, and the principal offenders were slain. The people as a whole remained. Discontentment produced murmuring and complaining. Again, the Lord was displeased. Again, punishment followed, but the people as a whole were spared. The Lord was very patient with Israel. Finally, we think of presence. The book concludes with the erection of the tabernacle in the wilderness. The Lord provided the instructions for the tabernacle, and the people built it and erected it. The tabernacle was the place the Lord would meet with the people. He would not forsake them, but continue to guide, direct, protect, and bless. The purpose of this book, or the events in this book, was that Israel was to become a nation. When they entered Egypt, they were a tribe, patriarchal nomads, traveling from one location to another, living in tents. God made them a nation. He gave them land. He gave them laws. He gave them a leader. He gave them a purpose. They were a nation born out of bondage, going from a hopeless existence to a bright future. All because of the Lord. Israel was also prepared for the Messiah. There are more types of Christ in Exodus than in any of the book. We think of the Passover, deliverance from Egypt, the priesthood, and the sacrifices all come to mind. This book of redemption reminds us of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Through him alone can one be delivered from sin and set free to live unto God. The Lord was good to Israel, and he delivered them from Egypt. The Lord is good to sinners, and those that place their faith in Christ will be delivered out of the world and sin. The book of Exodus, an excellent book to study, and I hope and pray it'll be a blessing to each of us as we go through it.